So this is the second episode of the First Hour podcast. I'm the host, Paul. With me returning is Greg, the owner of firsthour.net.
Hello. Hello, avid readers and listeners.
And joining us for the first time is our newest writer, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, Mike, as your first time on the podcast, give us a 30-second history of your life.
Ouch, 30 seconds.
Yeah, time's ticking.
All right, basically I've been gaming since the NES era, the NES era, and my
first... Don't call it that.
The Nintendo Entertainment System era, and my passion had taken me to Japan, which I spent 2 years over there, and tried to be hardcore and learn Japanese and play games.
Okay, time's up.
Original.
Thanks.
And that's me, Mike.
All right. So good deal.
I have a little Japanese background, and I'm a big fan of Nintendo and all their products. I'm not much of a Microsoft fan. Don't really hate them, but not much of a fan of them. I'm owner of a PS3 and a Nintendo Wii.
So, Greg, I guess you owe us one of these, but maybe we'll get into that another time.
Sure.
I guess I probably do too. Greg, I hear you've been playing a little Mass Effect 2, and that you might be enjoying it.
Yeah, I've been playing it a bit. This podcast is actually interrupting a nice session.
Oh,
so
sorry about that.
I think I played 25 hours in 6 days, which is pretty exceptional for me, having a full-time job and a kid and a wife and a house, and there's snow falling and all that, so I'm really enjoying the game. I've recruited all the characters I thought I could recruit. There's still one space left, so I'm not really sure who it is. But I think the game, I don't know if we want to talk about this right now, but I'm declaring Mass Effect 2 the best sequel ever.
You know? Okay.
Not necessarily the best game ever, or the best RPG or whatever, but simply the best sequel. So we can talk about that in depth later on if you like, or some other day. And I'll definitely be writing about it in my full review that'll come someday. But the game is amazing. And
I wanted to ask you about the story. I haven't played Mass Effect 1 or 2, but for what I've been hearing and reading, people aren't satisfied with the story. They find it kind of humdrum. Not that enticing. What do you think?
I'm actually really impressed by it. I'm a huge BioWare fan, Mass Effect fan in general. I played the first game 6 or 7 times, and I read both the books. And way too much. And I'm way too deep into the series, so maybe I can't see straight because I'm in love with it so much, but Mass Effect 2 really, it's kind of like Terminator and Terminator 2. Terminator 2 basically took the first movie and improved it and worked off of it, and in my opinion was a better movie, and same thing with Mass Effect 2. It's building off everything that happened in Mass Effect 1, and all in all, it's turning into a better game. As far as the main story, it's definitely interesting, but I think it's lacking a main villain. In the first game, you had the big bad guy, Saren, and then, you know, there's kind of like the Reapers behind him. But, you know, if you've played the game, it makes sense. But in Mass Effect 2, it's really just more about the collectors, and they're just like a hive mind. And so there's not really a face that you can say, oh, I gotta beat this guy down. But, I'm satisfied, and I've heard some things about the ending from a couple different sources, or about the final boss in specific, so I guess I'm not really worried because so far the game has been great, so I like to judge them by myself, so we'll see.
What about the combat system? I heard that we've had Knights of the Old Republic, Dragon Age Origins, Mass Effect 1. They really haven't changed up much. Have you found combat still fulfilling, or...?
It's very different. I just
they
recently
did change
finished
it up?
Playing Knights. Yeah, so I recently finished playing Knights of the Old Republic, and I would even say Mass Effect and Knights of the Old Republic are very different combat systems. Much more, Mass Effect is much more action-oriented. You can't really pause, and I mean, you can kind of pause the game and tell your guys what, like, what moves to immediately make, but it's not like turn-based where Knights like KOTOR was, and which even Dragon Age is still at heart. I believe it's still got turns.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes. But Mass Effect 2 is more like a Gears of War type shooter, or even maybe Uncharted. You know, it's heavily cover based. It's definitely moved. It dropped a lot of the RPG elements in the combat aspect that were in the first game. So it's much more. It's definitely more like a Gears of War than like a Knights of the Republic. Now, as far as combat goes, so I mean, it still has a, you know, very complex decision-making system and all that, but I actually really like the combat now. I think it's a lot more difficult, and I'm really forced to use my teammates in a lot, you know, more often than in the first. So I am satisfied with it. I'm playing on the hardcore setting, which is the second hardest. So
what's the hardest?
Yeah, I'm having a tough time at points. Insanity.
Okay. Is it like
I figured I'd save that.
It's like casual, veteran, hardcore, insanity, or something like that?
Yeah, casual, normal, veteran, hardcore, and insanity,
that,
I think.
That's a lot of different options, difficulty options for a game like that, it seems.
I had I just recently finished Dragon Age in December, and they pretty much have a, you know, similar, they belong to the same company,
yeah.
Similar mechanics, all that good stuff, but what happened in Dragon Age was I kind of messed up my characters, and I ended up making a wrong decision in the story,
mm-hmm.
which did not allow me to get restock health potions.
Okay.
So I actually had to cheat to beat the game. I had to do a glitch where I could duplicate health potions to even finish this game. I had to kick it down to casual and everything.
Wow.
Like, is Mass Effect 2,
yeah,
can you enter that point of no return?
No, I don't think so. I was playing Dragon Age before I, you know, dropped everything to play Mass Effect 2. I think I played about 12 hours of it or so. So not that far, but I was that game was definitely hardcore, and I was actually turning to like character sheets or whatever pretty early on, so I didn't mess up my character.
I went blindly and past the point of no return. It was too hard for me.
You can't do that in Mass Effect 2. The RPG elements and the combat are pretty limited now. So in the first Mass Effect, you could actually pick from like 12 different things to put points into. But in Mass Effect 2, I think it's limited to like 5 or 6 for the main character.
Okay.
And if I can add it up correctly, you can actually fill up every point if you reach the max level. So
wow. That's unusual.
Well, you can actually learn a additional power as you gain loyalty on your characters. So maybe you can't do them all.
Okay.
You can actually respec whenever you want if you pay the bill.
Right.
Respec. So.
Yeah. See, that's nice. I always want a respec option. I hate games that make you can miss something and never get it back. I'd rather an open world where you can always come back to it if you pass it up.
I kind of like the theory.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
I kind of like the theory of having to think ahead and plan, but then when I'm actually playing it, I'm always mad that when I mess something up and I can't change it.
There's like, you know, a treasure chest off to the side, and if you pass it up, it's like
the
this
Zodiac,
you know,
blade or whatever.
Like some kind of summon or something, and you're just like, man, I got to start another 40-hour game.
Right, just to get that one thing. You level up the wrong character, and they're the one who dies halfway through the game. And
right.
No spoilers.
Somehow
here,
I knew. Eris who?
I won't say which Final Fantasy game on the PlayStation that was, but anyway. So, Mike, what have you been playing lately?
I've actually had quite a bit of Amazon money, so I've gone and picked up some games off my wish list. I guess the big one I've been playing with a buddy of mine. We've been playing Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, which
Ultimate All Stars.
Yeah, Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, Ultimate All Stars. I'm gonna write a review for it in the near future, but so far it's pretty good. There's a few complaints I have about it. I can't see it being the end all of the Versus series. There's a few gripes I have about it. One being that there's two characters in the game that are humongous.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, and you can either pick two characters, like a tag team, or you can pick one of these gigantic, there's a robot and then this, I think his name is Golden Lighten. He's like a lighter.
Okay.
The Japanese people,
Yeah.
I guess he's a Japanese superhero.
So does that balance out picking a giant character instead of a tag team, or no?
It you have to. A newbie could not go against one of these giants guys.
Okay.
But I mean, a veteran, he could use his wits to take him out. But it just kind of throws off the balance because, like Smash Brothers, if you have Bowser or Donkey Kong, when you hit them, they still like trip up.
Yeah.
You can kind of knock them off balance. But in these 2D fighting games like Street Fighter, when you hit a huge guy, it's like they don't even flinch. So, you'll hit him and then he'll just swipe you right across the screen. So that's my only real griper about it. I don't really like the big characters. I've seen on the internet that they have they have this new system called Baroque. Okay. And it's basically a combo modifier.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help you to continue your combos. It's similar to the Roman cancel of the Guilty Gear series. And I've heard you can almost infinitely juggle your, that's online. Some people are getting infinite juggles.
Okay.
So that kind of, there's some brokenness in the game.
So there's big online play going on there, or is it still just big friend codes, right?
Actually, no. They did a real good thing. I don't know if you remember Metroid Prime Hunters. You know how they had a rival system?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. If you fight an opponent and you want to be his friend, you just register him to your friend code.
Ah, okay.
You don't have to type any codes or anything. You just hit register as friend.
Okay.
After the match. So it is a step up.
Okay.
And the online, there's not much lag. You can, customize your stuff. It's not like Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
Right.
It's not like a 2-minute match. You can customize your options.
That's cool. So the Versus series, Capcom's done a lot of these Versus games. Marvel versus Capcom sticks out. But my first thought when I heard this game is, who the heck is Tatsunoko?
Yeah, that's another thing.
I was just gonna ask that same question.
Like, I've been to Japan. I've spent 2 years over there. And, when I picked up this game, I started playing it. I knew about maybe 3 of the Tatsunoko guys. The rest, I had no clue who these guys are, really. I mean, it's from Japanese cartoons, like, in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Most of them didn't come to the States. So if you're thinking you're going to see some guys in this that you know, chances are probably not.
That's what I thought. Like, I was like, okay, I mean, I probably will recognize some of them. I just don't know the name of the animation studio, But no, it's not. I mean, the guy they show on the front, like, he looks familiar, but I have no clue what his name is or anything like that. But
yeah, well, the guy you
like
see
Speed
on the
Racer
front.
On the front.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I think it's the same studio, but the guy you see on the front, there's about 6 or 7 that look exactly like him, just a different cape, different color.
Okay. Okay, weird.
It's like the Power Rangers syndrome.
Okay.
Like, they're just, same looking guys, just different color capes and stuff. And there isn't like a lot of originality I see in the Tatsunoko side.
So why did Capcom pick, where they could just pick them up for a song or something? It was really cheap to get the license.
The Japanese people love them.
Okay.
They grew up. It's like our Ninja Turtles, they're only wearing a different color face band,
yeah.
But you know who Leonardo is, you know who Michelangelo is,
yeah.
And they're special to us. I guess it's the same to the Japanese guys over there.
I mean, I can think of
looking at the Capcom lineup, and I think that's really, they got a good lineup in Capcom.
That,
yeah.
That's like, what I was thinking too.
Beautiful Joe, yeah. And Zero, and Yami from Okami. That's interesting.
The guy from Dead Rising. What's his name?
Yeah.
Frank.
Yeah, Frank West.
Yeah, Frank West.
That's a cool lineup. And they were actually trying to get Phoenix Wright characters.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been awesome.
I remember back in the day seeing Marvel vs. Capcom in the arcade, and at the time, it was like, okay, I recognize basically all the Marvel characters, but who are these Capcom guys besides Mega Man? I didn't know any of them, but now it's, with Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, it's like completely the other way around. Like, Capcom has all these big name characters in there, and Tatsunoko's like, who?
Well, for us, it's who, but in Japan, these are like really huge. I think Capcom said they're going to continue their Versus series, and I think they're going to announce one pretty soon with a different lineup. I'm hoping, I wish they'd do like Square versus Capcom. That would be awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But they've never done another game publisher, have they? They've always done some other...
Yeah, like, it's usually like a comic thing. Like you said, Tatsunoko, Marvel.
Yeah. But they could do like a Disney versus Capcom.
Did they do SNK or something?
Yeah, SNK.
Yeah. Which that was a really good game, really balanced game.
But SNK hasn't made games in a long time, right? And this is more like going into their history? Or maybe I'm wrong.
I think, well, okay, I'm not sure, so I'm not gonna...
They did make King of Fighters 12 recently.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, SNK does still make games, but they aren't the King of Fighters anymore.
They only, yeah.
Nice.
Whatever.
And the last game I've been playing is Uncharted 2, which you know, got Game of the Year from like 9 different critics and all that stuff. So I pretty much agree with them. Definitely my Game of the Year. It's got a really addicting mechanic. You know when that mechanic just feels like it's just perfect as far as like shooting, jumping, cover. It just has real, real good, solid mechanics. And the voice acting, everything is like spot on. I went from Uncharted to Final Fantasy, Crystal Chronicles, the Crystal Bearers, and it's like uncanny how well they did in Uncharted 2.
Oh, really?
It's on my must-play list. I can't. I mean, the minute I buy a PS3, I'll be ordering Uncharted 1 and 2 to play, so. Along with Metal Gear Solid 4, of course, but looking forward to it.
The only thing I'm confused about Uncharted is how in the world it got a teen rating. I mean, he basically, you know, he's a sailor. Like, he cusses in every occasion. If he can cuss, he's going to do it. And, you know, I'm not a stickler for cussing, but at the same time, you know, I have a wife and kids, and I bought the game thinking it's going to be, you know, T for teen, and the times have changed because it's worse than some of my mature-rated games as far as language and stuff. I don't know how they got by with that.
I have noticed, looking back at some older games that were rated M, and like, man, this would not be rated M these days. It'd be rated T.
Well, think about, I mean, even this year, you know, Legend of Zelda Wii was rated teen.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it, just like one little scene where Ganon has blood on him or something?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't even know why it was rated T, honestly.
It was just dark, and it says blood on the descriptor, the ratings descriptor, but I really don't know. Ocarina of Time really had more blood. Like, when you hit the enemies, the hit effect was like a cloud of blood spurting out. Of course, on the N64, yeah, it looked pretty bad, but that's what it was. On Twilight Princess, it's just like this like star of light that shines out of them when you hit them. Ocarina of Time was more violent, but I guess it just couldn't show it, and so it got an E rating. I don't know.
Yeah, well, comparing Uncharted 2 to something like, you know, Zelda Twilight Princess, it's
not the same rating.
No, not at all. I don't know how the ESRB is doing that.
And that's weird, too, because, like, M is the new T, you know? Game companies are now trying to get M on their game, because that's what sells.
Well, M usually has less...
That's a good point.
M usually has like less cussing than Uncharted 2 did.
Yeah.
But they usually hit really big controversial things like male nudity or, you know, just
right. Grand Theft.
They always try and, you know, Modern Warfare 2 had that airport scene. They just hit this really big,
or it's just ultra violent.
Yeah, but I think, you know, people are drawn to the M-rated games now. Like you said, it's the new teen. Yeah. I recently borrowed a bunch of Xbox 360 games from my brother-in-law. And I looked at the stack, and they're all M-rated. It was like Saboteur, Assassin's Creed 2, Resident Evil 5. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, for better or worse. I mean, that's where the AAA games are going.
Well, I mean, gamers are just older now. People buying games are now over 18, so they make the games rated.
We're 30, generally.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah. Maybe not us, but...
Well, I was telling Paul, if you got, you know, if you're trying to game with family, do not buy PS3 or Xbox 360, because I can't think of any games that are rated like E for everyone besides Little Big Planet. Like, every single game I have is either mature or teen, which, you know, teen ratings are pretty much mature.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be playing Mass Effect 2 in front of my kid if he was older.
You said you played 25 hours. Do you have to, like, shut yourself up in a corner and hide from him, or how do you do that?
I usually start at, like, 9 at night and play until midnight or 1 a.m., so...
So we really, literally are cutting into your time playing right now.
Yes.
You're like, that's 49 minutes
playing,
less.
I'm just ignoring you guys, so...
Oh, right.
I recently hooked headphones up to my television, so now I can actually hear the dialogue and hear where guys are shooting me from. Where before, I had it like on level 3 volume,
right,
and was like squinting my ears, if there's a word for that, trying to figure out what was going.
I found that if you just slowly turn it down to what you find is the lowest you can, and that's probably what happened, how you got down to 3, but, and then after a while you turn it down 1, and then after a while you turn it down 1, and then eventually you have it down to like 3, and you can still hear it, and it's actually really, really quiet.
And then you turn it up, accidentally turn it up 1, and it seems like it's super loud.
Yeah.
Really, no one else can hear it.
Exactly.
So.
I know.
But the headphones are awesome.
Yeah.
If you can't do like surround sound, I'm enjoying the headphones. So. If you have a young child, get Wii Fit. The Wii Fit board is white,
mm-hmm.
and our kid just loves to run around on that. And then while we're playing, we set down this little white cutting board in front of us and between us and the TV. And he does that, and he does all the motions that the Miis are doing on the screen.
So he's nice.
It's incredible. I mean, he doesn't talk or anything, but he's bopping his head on the soccer balls and all that. So.
Yeah, I'm afraid my son's a little too old to be fooled by that. He would definitely know that he was not the one on the real balance board.
Yeah, Wii Fit Plus doesn't let you have like they don't let, you know, if they're not 3 years old, they can't do it or whatever. So
yeah,
it doesn't want them. You can actually create them.
Okay.
And the funny part is if you create your pets, they like run around with you while you're doing, like, biking or something.
That's interesting.
And this sounds like I'm such a casual gamer now, but... playing, oh, Wii Fit Plus, it's got all these cool features where you create your pet, but...
you casual gamer, you.
Yeah, so... But, yeah, I guess where this originated, my wife is maybe becoming a casual gamer. Sally Spa and Farmville, and I don't consider Farmville a game. I think I actually said that last time we had this podcast.
Yeah, that's all right.
What would you consider it, a waste?
I don't know. It's a time sink. It's
a click fest.
Yeah.
There was a point when I enjoyed games like The Sims and Harvest Moon, but as I got older, I just said, "Why don't I just clean this dish in real life and it'll actually be clean?"
Yeah.
Why don't I actually play chess in real life and actually gain intelligence instead of, you know, intelligence?
Why don't you actually go around the jungle looking for treasure?
Then you'd actually be rich.
Yeah.
Or dead. That's why.
Or carry or bear crystals yourself. You'd be doing any of that. I mean, I get your point, but I used to be into The Sims 2 and all that, but it's just too much. It's like my kid or my Sims had, you know, relationships with the neighbor girl. And now they're pregnant, and I don't want a kid, so...
Oh, that's easy. You just don't ever take care of the kid, and then the social services comes, picks it up in, like, 3 days.
This is going to sound awful out of context, but one time I I kept wanting to have a baby boy in The Sims 2. So it randomizes the gender at the time of birth in that game. So I kept like restarting and restarting to kind of kept giving me girls. And finally, I think I accidentally saved it instead of loading. So now I had this baby boy I didn't want, and it was named Baby Boy, which was the default name. So I put it, I used the noclip cheat or something, and I put it in the trash can. So none of my people could get it, and then they were really distraught and everything, and then the social worker came.
Yeah.
But that was just a video game, everyone, so...
Well, see, on the first Sims game, that's the one I played, all you had to do was... I just put the bassinet outside so that it wouldn't keep him awake, and the baby just cried and cried and cried until, after, 3 days, the social service came pick it up. And I think I lost some money, or, I had to pay for that or something, but it was worth it because I didn't want the kid, so... I was a teenager at the time.
Kids are expensive.
Yeah. They're like more expensive on the game than they are in real life. Weekend going to the Video Games Live concert that was coming up. Really looking forward to that. Had tickets, had plans, we were planning on writing about it afterward, having a podcast afterward to talk about it, and found out today it was canceled. It's not even been postponed, and we had to return the tickets to get refunds and everything.
Yeah, and I was actually in on that plan. I also live in Louisiana and planned on going to attend the show with Paul. I attended last year, and it's awesome.
That's too bad.
Really disappointed.
When I first moved up to Minneapolis, they had a video, or they had a Final Fantasy orchestrated concert planned.
Dear friend?
Ended up, I don't know, but this is in 2005, so I had bought tickets, and my friend was planning to come up, and that ended up getting canceled too.
Yeah.
And because my friend canceled, he didn't want to come up or something. Can't remember what happened, but he didn't even want to see me anymore.
Wow. is that the guy you played WoW with who stole your loot or something?
Oh man, that story. Long story, but no, I actually did play WoW with this guy a couple times. We were more Super Smash Brother Melee players.
Okay.
Epic Sheik versus Marth contest.
So you were actually Video Games Live supposed to be in Minneapolis end of February or something.
Yeah, but it was really expensive up here.
Oh, really?
I can't remember if it was 45 or 50 bucks for.
Yeah, that's what I thought it'd be. We got ours for $15, and I guess it was too good to be true.
Apparently so, because it wasn't. No, they I don't know, they've rescheduled it for April 1st, but it's not going to be in the same venue, so the tickets won't count. But supposedly PBS was going to make a documentary or something about it here, and the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra was playing it, and they're still going to be playing, but I don't know, apparently the arena that it was going to be in just, I don't know, hated video games or something. Maybe they didn't. See, it seems unlikely that they didn't sell enough tickets, but I don't know.
Well, I think they just didn't know what was going on. I mean, it is Louisiana, and most people are not on this level of culture in video games.
That's true.
And, I mean, when those people sold us the tickets, I don't think they even knew what they were selling. I mean,
no. I went to the box office to pick them up so as not to pay the Ticketmaster fee, because I live literally a few blocks from the arena. And there was a line next to me that was queuing up with security guards and stuff, and it was a line for a Carrie Underwood concert, which is going to be in May. And it had almost, when they opened the box office, the first people in line were getting their stuff, and they had already sold out the seats, like all the seats on the, like basically all the desirable seats, through Ticketmaster on the internet, like the instant they open the box office for selling the tickets. And then I'm all alone at the box office next to it for Video Games Live. And the woman's like, "You're here for what? For what? You want how many tickets?"
I want to know how many people actually bought Video Games Live tickets, because the way they responded by "return your tickets and we'll give you your money back," it sounds like we might be the only people who got tickets for this show.
That's
Yeah, it is, but
at least that we know it's still coming to New Orleans, so as long as we don't die, we'll get to see it, right?
I don't know. I wonder if this time they're like, "Look, we got to record this, but let's not actually sell tickets this time. We're just going to like have a closed studio." And
you know, like you said, PBS was coming to film the show.
Yeah.
I don't understand how, you know, Louisianians, I mean, it's about me and Paul, who would be their only, you know, people clapping and going crazy in the audience.
Yeah.
It would be a pretty dull DVD, you know, or a PBS airing.
Yeah.
A Louisiana audience. I mean,
maybe they were going to ship in fans from other, you know, from other states or something.
Outsource
our
fans. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just kind of put out by it, but that they canceled on me. It's not like they told us. They were just going to let us all people drive in from, I mean, somebody might have driven in from, like, Mississippi or Alabama to come to this thing.
Yeah, I wonder how
a joke for all of you who don't live in
the South.
Right.
There's a really good episode of Top Gear where they drove through the South. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that show.
I've seen it. I haven't seen that episode.
It's pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
I'd highly recommend that show, though.
Mass Effect Fever.
Yeah, I hear it. Okay. We'll let Greg go and play, and me and Michael just have to figure out something else to do.
Are you serious? You guys are gonna keep talking? I mean, I'll talk about.
No. I mean, we'll leave and play games of our
own. We don't need your small talk, Greg. How long do you think you have left on that game?
I don't know. I have really no idea. I mean, there's the big old point of no return that I know of, but after that, I just no idea how much is left. So
okay.
Point of no return.
I'm
so,
guessing,
like, part of the world is inaccessible at a certain point. You're saying?
It seems like so. The big thing is this suicide mission that you're supposedly not supposed to survive, except for my friend. And
right.
I'm assuming once you start that suicide mission, which it's a very obvious thing in the universe, you go through this relay, this thing that, you know, pushes you. It's like a wormhole kind
of. Is that on the trailer where he says the only way to reach something something is to go through the something something, and no ship has ever made it back alive? That part.
Exactly. So I'm assuming once you go through that, the Omega 4 relay.
Yeah. Then.
It's no turning back. So I have about I'm guessing 10 hours. That's
I guess we can end on a positive note. Tell me about your relationships in Mass Effect 2. Do you get to pick your women?
Oh. Alright, so I'm playing as a male. The first time I played Mass Effect 1, I played as a female. But I'm playing as my son. I'm playing as... He's not named after a video game character, but he does have a video game character named after him now.
The circle is now complete.
Yes. We are currently wooing Miranda, who is Ivan Strahovski, I believe.
Now, is she a human being, or are we...
She's a human.
Yeah, she's
She works for Cerberus, so at first she's like...
Mass Effect 1, you could only woo one person, right? It was like...
No, there's two, wasn't it?
No.
Two different people.
Okay, if you count all the genders, there were three people. So there was Ashley Williams, if you were a guy, Cade Nalenko, if you were a girl, and then both could woo Liara, Sony. So there's Miranda, there's Jack... /subject zero.
Oof.
I mean, she's a crazy tattooed girl. I don't know if you saw any of the
trailers. Yeah, that's a potential love interest.
I guess so. She doesn't wear any clothes. She just is tattooed.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Good luck with that one. And then there... I did have quote-unquote dinner with my, like, secretary, so...
Mm.
They didn't show anything, though, so...
The plot thickens.
I'm on the brink with Miranda, though. Miranda said next time we have some free time. So if it's anything like Mass Effect 1, once you start the point of no return, you'll have the little cabin scene. So
the cabin
scene. Wait, let's keep this PG rated now.
Dragon Age was the tent scene.
Dun dun dun.
Tent scene.
The tent scene, yeah.
I'm playing a female in Dragon Age, a female mage, a human, and I'm kind of going for a Alistair, I guess. I don't even know
It'd be really hard to flirt with men.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Even playing as a female, it would be a little awkward.
My theory is that if you're going to play a game for like 50 hours, you might as well enjoy the butt you're looking at, so...
I can't handle that. I tried to... Back in the day, I used to play female characters and woo men, and I just... Never been the same.
Is that what happened?
Like playing WoW or whatever, you know, and you'll just have like a leather top or something, and this man throws coins.
Those are like real people.
Yeah, I know.
Those are real people on the other side. This is just
except they're probably the opposite sex anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
I always played. I played as a female priest in WoW at first, and. I never really did any of that. And then I became a gnome mage. And that was awesome. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah. That
but you know, next time we have a podcast, I'll be able to report in on the cabin conclusion. Scene or the sex scene or whatever. And obviously the rest of the game too. But I know you guys are just clamoring for some of the dirt on my shepherd.
So this is kind of a pet peeve of mine. Does it bug you in a game? I don't know exactly. How seriously does Mass Effect take itself?
I'd say pretty
serious. Not very serious, I don't think.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think serious. The game, it's very funny at times. It pokes fun at itself a lot. So, Shepard, he's like the big, he's the awesome guy in the galaxy. You know, he's the human that, you know, can take on any species, any, you know, problem. He's the savior of all the galaxy. And he's kind of got, like, this, there's this guy named Conrad Werner, which is kind of like the weak version of Shepard. So he wants to be like Shepard. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, man, I was running around punching up boxes to, you know, collect some credits, and I was intimidating this girl, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like this guy, you know, the developers are really, or the writers are really keen on, you know, how, you know, Shepard is. So it's kind of serious at times.
Yeah.
Conrad Werner is Shepard's biggest fan in the first game.
Okay.
And you can actually send him to his death, which is a little sad. But
that's the renegade
action. If you can tell, like, because he's getting pretty serious about, like, approaching some aliens or something, and if you say, you know, you're stupid and you don't actually know any, you know, how to fight, you better back off. But he showed up in the second one, and he was trying to be like this undercover cop or something. It was really weird, but it was pretty funny. So there's a lot of humor in the game. The funniest thing I've seen in the game so far was you can go to like the main one of the you can return to the main hub in the first game, and you can go all these different shops, and you can endorse their shop to get
discounts. Okay.
Basically, they're like, oh, can you just record an audio recording and I'll work it into a commercial? And so Shepard leans forward and he goes, oh, this is Commander Shepard and this is my favorite shop on the Citadel. And so just the way it's done is it's really funny, and you can actually do that four different times and endorse four. So hopefully they don't, you know, realize that Shepard was two-timing them. But I don't know, I was laughing out loud a lot. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of characters that are there for the humor, like Joker, who's voiced by Seth Green.
Uh-huh.
And he's at odds now with the new ship AI, so who's voiced by Six from Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, wow,
so.
Okay.
A lot of great voices in the game, but so they're duking it out, and it's, I don't know, I don't think it really takes itself that seriously. I mean, it knows that it's dealing with, you know, the sci-fi genre, and it does that really well, but it doesn't know, try it. It doesn't get too caught up in itself.
But I mean, it's still trying to like present a story and characters. It's not just joking around.
You can kind of be as serious or as, you know, funny as you want it to be. The game is pretty. I mean, I guess there is a serious storyline, but you know, the characters keep it light when it needs to be light. There's one point where everyone knows they're on this suicide mission and that they probably won't survive. And there is another character that said, you know, if my bosses are... they're talking to Shepard that wasn't in their group, and they're like, my bosses are going to send me to my death, you know, on this mission to, you know, take out so-and-so. And Shepard's like, oh, don't listen to your bosses. And then your characters kind of on the side say, oh, since when do we not have to follow orders about a suicide mission? So just little stuff like that that, you know, makes me smile. I've burst out laughing a couple times, though, too.
So. Oh, wow. That's good. So it just has a little bit of everything.
Yep. I've been sacrificing a lot of sleep to play this game. One of my friends beat it, like, on the second day it was out, and I don't understand how he did that.
Wow.
And I was looking at his achievements, and he still nailed all the, like, the everyone must survive the suicide mission achievements. I mean, I don't know if it's a spoiler, if it's a suicide mission, even I know that, but, I'm like, dude, how'd you do this? And, like, he must not have a job or something.
He got everyone survived?
Yeah, I think so.
Because everything I get, like... I heard two different interviews with, like, the director of the game or the producer or something, and he said that it was possible, but he didn't think many people were going to get it, and that most of the time, at least somebody would die.
That's going to make me really sad.
If somebody dies. He said there were, like, conditions where everybody would die, and there were conditions where most of the people would die, and then there was most of the time at least one person would die. He said it was.
I mean, I got to die at one point, but hopefully, my first playthrough, they all live. So,
if you imported a save from Mass Effect 1, did they do anything for that?
Yeah, so I actually had a level 60 character. That level 60 was max in Mass Effect 1. You know, I was all careful. I was trying to be really careful in how I built my stats, but they just pretty much tossed all that away. And you could actually rebuild your character model, your character face, and you could choose a new class too. But the things that they preserve are your choices in the first game, which have a huge influence on the game. But and they also, that's pretty much it. So
the actual story is altered in 2?
Yeah, that's so what I played the first hour of Mass Effect 2 as a brand new character. I did not import, and the default like canon story, I guess, is like a renegade character, where they make like a mean, it's not like an evil in this game, but you know, just... More selfish, and they kind of make the big selfish choice at the end instead of being the nice guy. So it really actually surprised me. And they also indicated that a couple like the characters that, you know, could die were dead. So they're actually rewarding you to import because you have more access to a lot of extra storylines, I believe, and a lot of the, you know, extra characters are still alive. And obviously, you can bring in, you know, import your good choices if you want, or your mean choices, or a mix of both. So, with the level 60 I imported, they reward you with a bunch of extra money, a bunch of extra resources, and they, like, get you started at, like, a quarter of the bar for both Renegade and Paragon.
Nothing that'll break the game, huh?
No, and... Oh, they also start you out at level 5, so not really sure how big of a difference that would be. So, I mean, I started with a couple, you know, points and a few different powers, but, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And they're really just saying, hey, you spent 52 hours getting level 60, so we're going to give you a little bonus. I don't know, I mean, I can't imagine playing Mass Effect 2 without playing Mass Effect 1 now. There's just so many callbacks to the first one. Every other step you take, it seems like you're meeting someone from the first game, or you're listening to a radio announcement. Oh, you know, some further conclusion of a side quest. So, it's really impressive how they're doing it, and that's kind of why I'm saying it's the best sequel of all time. Or, yeah.
So you think they'll actually end it with a trilogy, or you think they'll pull a Star Wars?
Okay, well, since they're with EA, and I think they've also said that they're going to keep going, but, you know, I'm guessing that they're going to wrap up the main story. in the trilogy. They'll do
prequels.
Alternate, not really stories, but yeah, they could do prequels. They could do different characters in the universe. I mean, it's a full fledged universe with, you know, tons of different races and, you know, planets and all that. So I mean, there's plenty of things to do, and it really doesn't bother me that they're interested in going that route, because I love the universe and I love the world they've created. So, you know, bring it on, I say. But I'd really hope they do wrap it up in 3 games.
They'll probably finish up the Shepherd story in 3 games and go on from there.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Well, I know you could talk forever about Mass Effect 2 if we let you, so...
I'd rather play forever, so...
Oh, man. What are you trying to say, Greg? I see what you're trying to say.
There he goes!
Yep. Come back, Greg.
Man. Somebody better buy him a better connection.
Yeah. He was complaining about my connection last time.
Am I the only one dropping out?
Yeah. For a second, we thought you were actually just leaving to play Mass Effect 2.
That was his outro.
Right. It kind of would have been a good outro, actually.
I'll stick it out.
Okay.
I was traveling in Japan. I know you've been to Japan a couple times, Mike, or lived there or whatever, but I found Super Famicom copies of Chrono Trigger and Mother 2, so I bought those, and then I had to buy a Super Famicom too. So
Were they as expensive as they are in the States?
No, they're actually very cheap. I think I bought both games for under $25 total. It was just some random shop in Akihabara, so I thought it was pretty awesome that you know, Chrono Trigger is my favorite game of all time, and then I'd also played Earthbound, so it's just like, I have to buy these, and I'm like, but can I play them? And I think it turns out you probably could play them on a Super Nintendo, but I wasn't sure, so I had to buy a Super Famicom at the time, too. So.
Yeah, I went through that stage. I was really hardcore, and you know, we spent 2 years in Japan, and I thought I was going to be hardcore and only play Japanese games, so I got Japanese PS2 and imported Kingdom Hearts 2 back in the day, and just wasn't the same as playing in English. I mean, I just got so lost and
it's tough. I'd study Japanese and I'm like, oh man, I could just play Chrono Trigger, and I don't know, there's a ton of kanji, and I kind of gave up after a little bit. I mean, I'm sure I could have just plowed through the game without, since I've played it so many times, but I don't know, it's not something I've tried very often.
Yeah, I played Mother 3 in Japanese and had to read the script. I guess it was like a fan script. Somebody scripted out the story in English.
Have you played the translation?
I did play the translation, but Paul knows about this. I have a problem with emulation. Like, an emulated game, I never finish. Just because, I don't know, like, I don't have like that I bought it so I don't continue to play it kind of thing. I think Paul knows what I'm talking about, but basically, I never follow up emulated games. I have a ton of them, but, you know, I just never follow up on them because there's just something about you actually purchase that game, so you feel more obligated to get that save file or whatever.
I think it's very rare for me to finish emulated games, too, but there's just something with Mother 3. I'm like, oh, I'm never going to be able to play this game any other way, so let's do it.
Yeah.
I think that's the
That's the problem is that the saved game is stuck, you know, on the computer.
Right.
But at the same time, those saved games will probably last longer than any battery saved game.
Yeah.
I know all my like.
No. Well, I played the beginning of Earthbound, but it was emulated, and so I never finished it.
But did you quit after the first hour?
It was probably around there, yeah.
Yeah, when I used to give first-hour review scores, I gave it a 4 out of 10.
Ah, it was... I mean, I remember thinking it was... Like, there were some funny things there, and I wanted to, like, continue playing because I liked the sense of humor. But, like, I didn't like the battle system, and I couldn't figure out how to get past a certain point or something. And I think I did get past it before I quit, but, like, right before, and I had already kind of gotten worn out playing... And I
played the game a couple times, and I think it's really fun, but it's tough to get into, I think.
Did you have an original copy of Earthbound?
The first time I ever played it, I borrowed it from my friend, and so he lent me the player's guide too, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little scratch.
As you know, Earthbound tanked in America, and I actually ended up getting the guide and the game at Walmart for $10. Because, the game tanked over here in the States.
Wow.
So that's a pretty sweet
deal. It was a gem I stumbled on. I had no idea what it was, and ended up being one of my favorite games.
Yeah, I don't buy a lot of games blindly like that, so sometimes you do get lucky, though.
Well, when you're a kid, $10 games.
Yeah.
I would buy Super Black Bass for $10.
I don't know if I would go that far.
I think I owned that at one point. I sold Super Black Bass or one of those bass fishing games a couple months ago on Amazon. So. I thought the Big Shell was in like the middle of New York City or whatever, in like the river. No. Maybe not.
Well, it ended up being, like, the final battle ended up being, like, in downtown Washington, D.C., wasn't it?
Right
Are
at the...
Metal Gear Solid 2?
Sons of Liberty?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you fought in front of the federal building,
yep,
I think?
Yep.
Or on it or something.
I think you ended up fighting on it, and it, like, got destroyed by Liquid's Metal Gear.
Metal Gear Ray or something?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, Paul, did you play it again?
My roommate's PS2.
Oh, so you did get to play it?
Yeah.
Did you play 3?
No.
Oh, see, that's the best one.
And that about wraps up this episode of the First Hour Podcast. Visit our website at firsthour.net. The song for this episode is Malevolent Mansion by Audix and Necrofrog, courtesy of OCB Mix.